grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on the Gospel reading from Matthew 16, but also with reference to the Epistle, Romans 12, and also the Old Testament a little bit as well from Isaiah. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, bless this time of meditating on your word. Send us your Holy Spirit to enliven and strengthen us in the faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. On Monday afternoon, I had the opportunity to go across to our Year 5 classrooms over here at the school and take part in a unit they were doing on worship. And they asked me to come across and answer a few questions that the children had prepared. In fact, if I knew how well they'd prepared, I might have prepared a little more. That's all right. As I stood there facing this 4-foot-high firing squad, I was a little bit nervous, I must say. But I was also very encouraged by some of the questions that they were coming up with and coming out with, and also the earnestness with which they were asking them and listening to what I had to say. And their questions covered everything from the Bible to baptism and communion and church music and pastors' vestments and all sorts of things. Adam and Eve, and there's always a necessary question in there about dinosaurs. Every time I go to a school classroom, I get asked about dinosaurs. It's good to have questions. It's good to ask our questions, not just for kids, but for adults as well. This is how we learn. This is how we grow in our understanding of the faith, to ask our questions and to search for godly answers. In today's gospel reading, it's Jesus doing the asking. Jesus with the questions. Jesus leading us into a deeper understanding of himself and also of ourselves. So three questions I want us to look at today. Who is Jesus? Who is the church? And who am I? Or who are you in relation to the other two? Who is Jesus? Who is the church? Who am I? Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" At this point in the Gospel, Jesus and his disciples are poised on the northern edge of Israel, Caesarea Philippi, this particularly non-Jewish area, placed with lots of temples to lots of different gods. It's kind of the border of Israel and the rest of the world. So that's where we are today. This is the place that Jesus chooses to have this important conversation with his disciples about who he is, his identity. Jesus questions his disciples, as he often did. This is part of his teaching methodology, part of the process of instruction that he uses. He asks questions. And the first question he asks them is about what other people are thinking, what other people are saying, right? What's the opinion out there about who I am? And they respond. Some say you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. These are the various rumors getting around, the various things people were saying, the various ideas they had about who Jesus was. Nowadays, you'd get similar differences of opinion if you asked people round about who Jesus was or who Jesus is. Some might think of him as a great teacher or a good example for us. Some people see Jesus as something of a revolutionary in history, something along these lines. One commentator says this: "It's possible for us to have good thoughts of Christ and yet not right ones, a high opinion of him and yet not high enough." This seems to kind of be the case in Matthew 16, that people they're talking about Jesus, they're formulating their opinions about him, but they're not quite there yet. They have high opinions, some of them, of him, but not yet high enough. Jesus' next question shows that his interest is not just in hearsay or the rumors or the public opinion, but he's interested in what his own disciples are thinking also. So he moves the discussion, he moves it kind of from the general to the personal. But what about you? What about you? Who do you say that I am? Forget about them out there for a minute. What about you? Who do you say that I am? This question is so central, not just to our historical understanding of the Christian faith, not just to the theory of Christianity. It's important personally to each of us. Who is Jesus to you? What do you say about him? What do you think about him? Peter responds on behalf of the disciples, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The King, right? The Messiah, the anointed one, the one who was to come, the promised one, the one we've been waiting for. You're him. You're it. God from God, light from light, very God from very God. You're the one. You're God's great answer to the deepest questions and problems of humanity. This is who you are. You're the source. You're the Savior. You're it. You're the meaning. You're the man, right? You're him. You're the one who's come from God. You are the Son of the living God, the one we've been waiting for. You know, when Peter's off, he's usually really off, but when he's on, he's really on. And today he's on, right? Today he's on the mark. He's on the ball. Not because he's figured it out for himself, not because he's been doing his homework and working harder than the other disciples and he's finally got the answer. No, what does Jesus say? This has been revealed to you. This has been given to you. This is a gift, Peter, from your heavenly Father, this knowledge of who Jesus is. Another commentator, Frederick Brunner, says the church is healthy when it's like Peter, decisive and emphatic and willing to just state what it believes before each other and before the world around us. The church is healthy when it's like that. The church is unhealthy when it becomes more like the notorious politicians who say, "These are my convictions, and if you don't like them, I have others." Hope you see the contrast. Who is Jesus, number one? Number two, who is the church? What is the church? Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Many of you would know that Peter's name means rock. So there's a little wordplay going on here. You are Peter, you are Petra, and on this Petros, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. So what is the rock exactly? Is it Peter? Is it the disciples? Is it the faith in Jesus? Is it Jesus himself? So in one sense, it's all those things, but most significantly, the last one. And if you read throughout the Bible, you read Jesus constantly referred to as the rock, the cornerstone, right, the foundation stone. This is part of who he is. He's the very groundwork of our faith and our church. So reliable, so firm, so much so that the very gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. Wow. Do we believe that? Do we worry a lot about the future of the church? Do we fear for where we are, where we're going, what people think of us, what the opinions are, what we're like? Do we worry? Jesus says, "It's my church. I'm the builder. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it." That means the worst things you can imagine, sins and scandals and death and the devil, nothing can overcome the church that Jesus is building. G.K. Chesterton says the church has died many times, but each time she has risen again, for she has a Lord who knows his way out of the grave. The church has died many times, but each time she has risen again, for she has a Lord who knows his way out of the grave. Fear not, friends. It is his church, and he is building it and sustaining it and will continue to. Now, within that church, Jesus gives a very special power and authority that was spoken of in our text today, and that is the authority to forgive sins. That's no small thing. The responsibility and the privilege to literally throw open the gates of heaven for people and say, "You're welcome, you're invited, you're forgiven. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, this place is for you. This is a responsibility the church has. Beyond that, St. Paul helps us see how the church functions. This is Romans 12, right? He says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. And then he lists the gifts, right? Prophecy and teaching and leading and giving and serving and showing mercy and encouraging, these sorts of things. I must say that since beginning at St. Mark's, I've been blown away, not literally, well, almost literally blown away, but blown away by the way that people here use their gifts to serve this community. It's really encouraging. And it happens a huge amount. You know, people running programs and leading studies and visiting each other and making meals for people who need it, and even that administration work and people who are on rosters and committees and serve in worship and play in bands and all this sort of thing. This is how the church functions, right? This is how people use their gifts that God's given them for the good of the whole. And it's a very special thing. Paul says when we do these things, we should do them generously, diligently, and cheerfully. And of course, with thanks to God for the gifts he has given us to enable us to do such things. What might seem to us like a small contribution or a little role in God's church is not small in his eyes, but is very important and very significant to him. Each person in the church is unique and is here for a purpose and a reason, and that is God's purpose and his reason. Now, what that means for you personally is that you have gifts and abilities and background and life experiences and all these things that prepare you to serve in a particular way and in a way that nobody else can. Nobody else can, because there's nobody like you in this church or in the whole church. You are able to reach particular people or respond to particular needs that no one else can, because you're unique and God has made you that way and God has given you those tasks. Now, if you're someone who feels incredibly unsure about what your gifts are or what God is calling you to what area he's calling you to serve in, then I encourage you to talk about that. Pray about that. Think about that. Come and speak about that. Not all at once, but you know, come and have a conversation about those things. The church is that community built on Christ, founded on him, gathering around him, his word, his gifts, and then going out to serve the world. This is who we are. We are a worshiping people, a worshiping community, right? We're not a social club. Okay, we get to socialize, that's nice, but that's not at the core of who we are. We're not a business, right? We're entrusted with money, okay, and we should be wise stewards, but we're not a business. We are a worshiping people, we are a gathering people, and we are a serving people. This is the church. This is who we're called to be. So, who is Jesus? Who is the church? And finally, who am I? Who are you? I purposely wanted to end here today rather than start here, because I think we live in a culture that starts here. Who am I? Self-definition, self-determination, individual rights, big focus on the self. Okay, I think this is what our culture is a little bit like. And so we become culturally conditioned to begin with me, work out what's important to me, what do I think, what do I believe, what do I want out of life, and then make all our decisions on that basis. Me in the middle. What if there's a different starting point? What if there's a different foundation, a different basis, a different groundwork, and one that is actually more solid than me or you, one that is actually more unchanging, more helpful, more firm, more gracious than I am to myself or others? What if there's a different rock, a different rock? Listen to me, Isaiah writes, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to the rock from which you were cut. Now, if Jesus is the rock, as we learn later in Scripture that he is, then we are like the living stones, right? Cut from this rock. And if Jesus is the quarry, then we are like the salt of the earth, right? Taken from that quarry and used for the good of the world. Look to the rock from which you were cut. It is in looking to Jesus and engaging in the life of his church that we start to learn and discover who we are, that we get to know ourselves, that we come to terms with ourselves. Right? It's not by a lifetime of kind of, you know, self-discovery, I've got to go out there and find myself. No, well, God has already found you, and he wants to help you come to terms with who you are, but he does it in this way, through Christ and through the church and through his word, through his people. This is how we come to terms with who we are and what we're called to in this life. And here we learn, we kind of come face to face with the realities of who we are, both good and bad, right? Both created and fallen, beautiful and blemished. This is what we need to know about ourselves. Saint and sinner, this is who we are. You know, in need of deep repentance and help on one hand, but on the other hand, you know, by the cross of Christ and the grace of God, forgiven and bathed in grace and showered in mercy and just loved beyond our wildest dreams, and we have more potential and purpose and power in this life than we ever thought we did, we come to terms with what God has done for us in his Son. Blessed are you, Peter. Yeah, but not just Peter. Blessed are you as well. Sons of Adam, daughters of Eve, blessed are you because you have come to know Christ also. Blessed are you because you have become children of God. Blessed are you because of who he has made you. That's who you are, his children. Shortly before his death at the hands of the Nazis, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a poem. The poem was called "Who Am I?" I just want to close with a couple lines from that poem today. Am I then really all that other people tell of? Or am I only what I know of myself? Who am I, this or the other? Am I one person today and tomorrow another? Who am I? They mock me, these lonely questions of mine. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for making us yours, your children, your dearly loved ones, people who believe in Jesus Christ as your Son, as our Lord, and who seek to serve him in our lives. Help us with that, Lord. Help us to know what gifts and opportunities you have given each of us and to use them to your glory. Bless us in the knowledge and life lived with your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.